Hi, this is Neil Stavem. Thanks for checking out the podcast of Connecting Faith. Programs like this are made possible through the financial support of listeners like you. You can find out more or make a gift by clicking on the Support Faith Radio tab on the homepage. Enjoy the podcast.
Always expect something good on your lunch hour. Connecting Faith with Life.
Good afternoon and welcome. My name is Stephanie Kay. I am your host today for Connecting Faith. It is so nice to be here with you. I'm glad you're joining us today. Hope you had an amazing Memorial Day weekend. I know it's a day later, but we can still honor those who have given so sacrificially for this country and for our freedoms. Thank you, thank you, thank you again for those of you who have put yourself in harm's way. And also, thanks to the family members, those of you who have family members overseas, God bless you. Oh, thank you so much for your sacrifice. I'm really excited about today. I'm in for Neil. Neil is back tomorrow. Today we're going to have a conversation with Fouad Masri, and he's an incredible author and a minister, has trained thousands and thousands of Americans on Muslim-American relations, Muslim-Christian relations, and he's got some things coming up this summer that we're going to talk about, but I'm really excited about this conversation because I think it's timely, and I'm always fascinated to hear what is happening in the lives of Muslims, especially when it concerns the gospel of Christ. And Fouad's got stories that he'll be able to tell you. But I want you to participate in this conversation. I'm going to give you the number right away. If you've got any questions or comments concerning this topic, this is your opportunity. This is your time to ask. The faith line here is 1-877-93-FAITH, 877-93-FAITH, or 877-933-2484. Gracie will be taking your call. Matt's here running the show. And Fouad is joining us now on the phone. Fouad is an author and a lecturer. He was born and raised in the war zone of Beirut, Lebanon. And he's a third-generation pastor, amazingly. He's a passion for sharing the love of Christ with Muslims and has spent most of his life doing that. In fact, he's trained nearly 11,000 North American Christians to share their faith with Muslims, but in a very unique way. Fouad, thank you so much for joining us today. Welcome.
Great to be with you, Stephanie.
Thank you so much. Fouad, one of the things that fascinates me right off the bat is you've got a real different philosophy about sharing faith. You've said it's our job not to make the Muslim a Christian, but it's our job to show them the love of Christ. How did you come to that, and how do you do that?
It's a biblical concept. You know, when you look at the life of Christ, He always encourages us, Jesus says, to share the good news. The word evangelize comes from the word evangelion, which means telling the good news. And many times we as believers think that evangelism is some kind of activity where we are forcing people or kind of debating people or arguing them till they accept our thoughts or our belief. But in reality, when you look at the teaching of Jesus, we are sharing what he did in our life. We are shining the light that is in our life. We are sharing the good news that Christ is our Savior, that we have been saved from our sin, regardless of the response. The struggle today is that many times people think that the response depends on us, but in reality, the response is between them and God. My job is to share the good news. So that the stress for Crescent Project, the real message for us is we don't want to make anybody a Christian. That is God's job. He's the one who wins people. He's the one who changes the heart. What we want to do is share the good news. We want to shine our light. We want to love Muslims. And this has been very freeing for me personally. I grew up in Beirut and had friends who were Shiite, Sunni, different backgrounds, Syrians, Jordanians. And I discovered when I made a commitment to follow Jesus that Christ expects of me to show love, to show his character, to shine with his teachings. He does not measure my Christianity by how many converts or how many people I persuaded. That's not my job to persuade. My job is to reflect his teachings. Now, how do we do that? That's what we design as Crescent Project. We have a training, one-day seminar. We have 1 week. We have a weekend training. We have DVD-based training. And the training is designed to help Christians build bridges, take a similar concept in Islam and a similar concept in Christianity, build a bridge where your Muslim friend can cross to faith in Christ. That's been freeing for me because now my relationship with my neighbors, with my Muslim friends, is based on me building a bridge and sharing. We are sharing what God has given us. And the response is between them and God.
So, and you wrote a book called Is the Injil Corrupted? And I was fascinated to learn, Fuad, that Muslims to some degree have a concept of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Is that true?
Yes. The thing about Islam today, Islam came after Christianity. And we are sure that Muhammad, he was not necessarily exposed to the teachings of Christ, because we know that in the days of Muhammad, the Bible was not put in Arabic. So anything Muhammad heard about Christianity was maybe secondhand. So they were the terms used in the Quran, Injil, meaning the book of Jesus, Isa, or Messiah is mentioned in the Quran, meaning Jesus the Messiah. These were terms used, but many times Muslims don't know what is the message of Christ. So we wanted to build bridges through utilizing this concept. Is the Injil corrupted? There's a second book out called Ambassadors to Muslims, and a third one called Adha in the Injil. They all focus on how to take similar things and begin the conversation on a positive note, build the conversation on solid biblical understanding of God, solid biblical understanding of faith, of religion, of salvation. And once you build these foundational on the conversations, then we can continue to deeper issues and build a bridge where the Muslim can say, oh, I'd love to know more about Christ, or I want to follow Christ.
So what in those conversations, Fuad, is the thing that would cause somebody to say, I want to know more?
Yes. One of the things we need to know, and while I was listening, waiting for the interview to begin, you guys were reporting about the massacre that happened in Syria. My mom is Syrian. My dad is Lebanese. I have cousins in Syria. So the issue in Syria is on my radar, as you say in English. And the struggle in Syria today is we had a massacre 2 days ago, 115 people dead. It's a Sunni-Shiite war, and they're just going at it as a religious war. Most Muslims today look at that, and they are concerned. So they usually use terminology, well, this is not Islam. Okay, if this is not Islam, what is Islam? Or they might say, oh, they're not Muslim. Like somebody told me, Gaddafi is not a Muslim. Okay, if they are not Muslim, what are they? Presbyterian, Roman Catholic? Who are these people shooting each other down the street? In the last 1,400 years, more Muslims have died on the hands of other Muslims than anyone else. But in the past, we did not have this kind of technology where people would talk to each other. And Muslims did not know about the crisis the Muslim world is in. But today, Muslims everywhere get on their iPhone or iPad, on their computers, their TV, on the internet, and they're noticing that there's a mess. So they're seeking, but they don't know where to go.
Mm-hmm.
And so they try to follow the religion, but they're asking more questions.
Mm-hmm.
So one thing we're seeing is that there's more and more questioning from Islam and from Muslims because Islam is not working. The second thing that I'd like to highlight to our listeners is I was sharing the gospel with a Libyan. And my Libyan friend said to me this. He said, Fuad, we know that Islam is not working, but it's like being in a house with a leaky roof. You want to be in the house, even if it's leaking, instead of being outside in the rain. The struggle in Islam today, the Islam is not working, and Muslims are trying to save face by saying, well, it's okay, it's a bad situation in Syria, or it's a bad situation in Tunisia, or it's in Morocco, or it's in Algeria, or it's in Saudi Arabia, or it's in Pakistan, or it's in Iran. The struggle, what's happening, the roof is really not there.
Hmm.
What we need is believers, people who are committed to Christ, who will tell them about the house of Jesus. The house of Jesus has a roof that does not leak. And that is the next step that we are, that way people will ask questions, is when we as believers shine the light. What happens, everybody wants to say this kind of like a, somehow we can give them the right argument and they will become believers. And that's not the case. You know, Jesus heals 10 lepers. And then one of them comes back to faith. And he said to him, do you believe in the Son of God? He said, tell me who he is, I'll believe in him. He says, I am he. And he believed in him. And so many times we have to share. The biggest issue today is Islam has failed, but Muslims are in need of Jesus. Islam is the problem. Muslims are the victim. And it's time for believers to start sharing. And when you start sharing the light, when you start sharing the teaching of Jesus, they ask for more. The thing I want to share is that I've been sharing the gospel since 1979. Muslims have never been this open. Never been this open. Last Friday, we talked to an Albanian. On last Wednesday, we talked to a Pakistani. A week before, we're talking to Moroccan. They all asked for Bibles. They're all talking about, want to talk to us about Jesus. The reason we're not about Jesus, they know Islam is not working. And we want to share with them that Jesus works, because Jesus saves a person from inside out.
Wow, Fuad, thank you so much. I can't wait to hear more stories. I know you've got them. We're going to take a really quick break here. If you are interested in this topic at all, my friend, I really encourage you to call right now. Fuad is with us for the next 45 minutes. He is a pastor. He's an author. He's the founder of the Crescent Project. And this is a project that helps build relationships and transforms relationships between Christians and Muslims, helps to overcome misconceptions about Islam and Christianity. So have the courage to call in or ask questions if you've got them at 1-877-933-2484, 877-933-2484. We'll take a quick break. We'll come right back with Fuad Masri on Connecting Faith. Welcome back to Connecting Faith. I'm Stephanie Kay in for Neil Stavem today. Thanks so much for joining us. We're having an amazing conversation with Fuad Masri, and he is an author, a lecturer. He was born and raised in the war zone of Beirut, Lebanon. He is a third-generation pastor, actually the founder of Crescent Project. He's got an upcoming event in June. It's called the Sahara Challenge. And Fuad, before we start diving into phone calls and things, I would love for you to just talk a little bit about what you're going to be doing in June in St. Paul.
Yes, in June we are doing our annual one-week training. This training is on how to plant churches and serve among Muslims. It's designed to understand Islam from a biblical point of view, and then how to communicate to Muslims and then plant churches. The reason I want to share this also with our listeners. We've been doing this for 12 years. We'd love people to come. It's on Bethel University campus. So if they live in the Twin Cities, they can commute, no problem. But we'll cover Islam. We'll cover ministry skills, how to answer questions Muslims ask in a way that shares the gospel. We talk about culture, how to understand culture. And the biggest thing is how to move beyond common grounds. Many times people hear me talking about building bridges, and they always say, oh, I'm building bridges with my friend, but we're always talking about common things. We're all talking about what's the common ground between us. Oh, you guys love God, we love God. You heard about Jesus, we heard about Jesus. One thing Sahara Challenge will do is move the believers beyond common grounds, how to move to build the bridge to help the Muslim friend see the uniqueness of Jesus and the authenticity of the Bible. So that's our one-week training. It is from June 17th to the 23rd. We begin Sunday night. And we praise the Lord that God used this training to put people on the mission field, to put people right here in America. There are people in Canada. There are people serving. And it gives you the tools on having the stamina to reach out to Muslims in your area. I know that the Twin Cities is home to about 100,000 Muslims. I know you have 60,000 plus Somalis. Well, God is so good. He brought Muslims to our next door neighborhoods. And It's our role to shine the light to them. And my prayer that God will send a revival in the Twin Cities, that, you know, out of the 100,000 believers, Muslim believers, many of them become believers in Jesus and shine the light even back home. So that's what we do in the Sahara Challenge training. If people want to know more, they can get our website, crescentproject.org. They can get some of the materials. There are things they can download. So it would be fun to have them.
Mm-hmm. Let me ask you, Fuad, what are some of the common questions Muslims will ask you, a Christian? What is there a number one first favorite question that you get asked?
Yeah, the first one that they will always have on their mind is that the Bible has been changed. Now, you might ask them, who changed it? And they would have, you know, different ideas. It could be you Christians, or somebody told me Paul changed the Bible. Somebody told me, you know, Richard Lionheart. You know, there's no study on who changed the Bible. It's just something that they would say. And part of the problem in Islam is you're not allowed to question. So when your imam says the Bible has been corrupted, you kind of question, because they say, oh, you're questioning the imam. And this has been changing, because right now many Muslims want to question. They're finding out that questioning your leadership is not a bad idea. You know, it's okay. You know, and so it's a good way that God is using for people to ask questions about faith. So number one question I'll tell you, isn't the Injil has been corrupted? And you have to answer that question to move on, because you and I were not in Jerusalem during the crucifixion of Jesus. We were not there during the resurrection. We believe in salvation by grace. We believe in a triune God, but that's all because of teaching of the Bible. So that's the number one question. That's the number one we need to answer. And sadly, most Christians don't know how to answer that question. Is the Bible changed? The same question will be, do Christians believe in three gods? Many Muslims believe that we worship God, the Father, Mary, the Mother, and Jesus, the baby. Well, they think that that's our Trinity. Well, how many people know that, and how many people are prepared to answer? The third question that always comes up is, why do we need to be saved through the work of Jesus? Why aren't we saved through good works? Well, you know, many times we discover that that's also a question that Christians cannot respond to in a way that is biblical, in a way that leads the conversation to Jesus. And so that's one of the struggles that we face.
So, Fuad, you spend a lot of time teaching Christians their own gospel message before they can turn around and tell somebody of another faith.
Well, that's part of what we do. Basically, what God has used the Christian Project is to help Christians articulate their faith. One of the struggles is, because we live in a country with a lot of believers, I live in a neighborhood, you know, I have a neighbor from different churches, a lot of believers in my neighborhood. And so many times we think, well, my neighbor heard the gospel, my other neighbor heard the gospel, they go to this church, this goes to this church, you know, so we feel our faith is not, we don't articulate it because we're not talking to people who are not believers, and which is nice. I love that I can talk to my neighbor and say Merry Christmas and Happy New Year and Happy Easter and, you know, and be able to fellowship. I love that. But, you know, many Muslims come, they don't know the faintest idea about our faith, and we're not prepared. So the people we train now, we praise God through our one-day seminar, trained 17,500 people. So through these trainings, we're seeing that people understand how to begin a conversation. This is very important, how to begin. But then also they know how to end. If you don't know how to end the conversation, many times, you know, it drops, and we don't want that. So that's the beauty of the training. The other thing that people get excited about the training is they feel that they have a toolbox. They have many tools. They know how to answer the questions. Also, they understand the culture. We have a whole day on culture. How do you communicate with a woman? How do you communicate with a man? How would you communicate in a specific community? We give them 12 keys on how do you understand the culture? Sadly, many times, even if you're from overseas, many times as believers, we just start talking, sharing the gospel, thinking, well, that's all it takes. That's not the point. Jesus clearly showed us that he understood the community. When you read the parables of Jesus, they were tools, they were ways that Christ communicated so the community, so his culture will understand the gospel message. You know, whether it's the prodigal son parable, or the mustard seed, or the wedding, the five wives and the five foolish maidens. So these are all concepts that Jesus put in a cultural context so his audience will understand. And we need to be like our Lord and Savior Jesus, understand the culture to be able to communicate.
Okay, thank you for that. We're taking phone calls at on the Faith Line at 1-877-93-FAITH. Gracie's taking your call, and I think you can email too. Is that right, Matt? You can email right into the studio, right at faithradionet.com. Go to Connecting Faith, the page site there. Okay, and then there's a section to email Neil, so you can click on that and email us right here in studio, or that Faith Line 1-877-933-2484. Josh is joining us from Anoka. Hi, Josh.
Hey, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Definitely good. Beautiful weather out.
Mm-hmm.
I just wanted to say I'm very encouraged, Fouad, by your stories that you're sharing, and by your boldness to go out and talk to Muslims. That's something that I've been a little afraid of, not sure how to approach a Muslim, not sure if it's okay for me to operate my ministry, which is engaging people in relationship, and not knowing if I'm not being aggressive enough, if I'm not meeting the standard, which God said if there is one. So I've kind of been a little standoffish and a little yellow, if you know what I mean. And just hearing your stories and your wisdom in approaching Muslims has really encouraged me today.
Thank you. Praise the Lord, Josh. My brother, the best thing we need to know is that we are the fragrance of Christ. We are the fragrance of Christ, and those who respond to that fragrance, God, you know, is going to do that in their heart. Our job stops in sharing, in shining the light. And the other thing is, one of the good examples for us in the Bible, Jesus, the Bible says we are the ambassadors. And that's a very beautiful concept. We represent. We're representing what Jesus taught. So be encouraged. Don't lose heart. And many times, you know, the seeds that you sow, the Holy Spirit will water and will bring it to fruit in due time. Maybe we don't see the harvest, but God will be working on that.
Josh, thank you so much. Appreciate your call, and I appreciate what you do, too. Thank you. Fouad, can you describe a little bit more the fragrance of Christ? What do you mean by that? How are we to appear as that to a brand new person we maybe just met of another faith?
Yeah, sometimes we think, I'm going to say this, that people are not watching. But in reality, people are watching. I have a friend, he and his wife are serving in a Muslim country. They've been there 15 years. After 15 years of being there, they lived across the street from the mosque. And one day he was walking with his wife, and the imam came down from the mosque, came out, and he said, "Excuse me, I want to talk to you about Jesus. Can I get a Bible?" And the missionary said to him, "Why? Why are you asking?" And he said to him, "I've watched you and your wife for 15 years, the way you talk to her, the way she talks to you, the way you dress, the way you function. You guys are different. I want to know more about Jesus." The reason I'm sharing that story, you know, 15 years, when do you think God was working? Was God working the week before, a year before, 14 years earlier? God's working all the time. There are no divine appointments. All appointments are divine appointments. God is building his church. Jesus said, "I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not withstand against it." This idea that somehow evangelism is an activity that we start and we end, that's not true. Yes, it is true in the sense, like, you know, I understand that I have to prepare myself and study and read. But every day we're reaching out. Every day we're challenging people to consider us. So we're the fragrance. When somebody knows that you're a believer, are they happy you're a believer or they're sad? How do you treat your neighbor? How do you treat the immigrant? There are immigrants coming from a big mess. the Muslim world is in big chaos.
Mm-hmm.
Immigration is going to, people are going to, refugees are going to grow. Tunisia is not working. Algeria is not working. Libya is not working. Egypt is not working. Yemen, Saudi Arabia, Bahrain,
Fuad, we have to
Syria.
We have to take a quick break.
Sure.
Really quick break. We're coming right back with Fuad Masri on Connecting Faith. Feel free to call that faith line, 877-93-FAITH. Coming right back. Welcome back to Connecting Faith on the Faith Radio Network. I'm Stephanie Kay in for Neil Stavem today, and having an amazing conversation with Fuad Masri. And he is actually a pastor, third-generation pastor. He's the author of the book, Is the Injil Corrupted? He is founder of Crescent Project. And we're going to talk a little bit more about Crescent Project. What the goal there is to nurture transformational relationships between Christians and Muslims and really work to overcome misconceptions about Islam and Christianity. And also, Fuad has amazing resources and tools, a DVD series called Bridges, Christians Connecting with Muslims. And what this is training on culture, training on opening doors to conversation, knowing how to close the door on a conversation to maybe allow for another open door opportunity in the future. So we're learning a lot today, and we welcome your comments on this subject. We welcome your questions on the Faith line at 1-877-93-FAITH, 877-933-2484, and also on the website. If you're listening or streaming online, live right there online, you can go to Neil's page and literally go scroll down just a bit under his picture. You'll see email Neil. If you click that, the email will come to us right here in studio. So lots of ways for you to communicate. Go ahead and participate right now at 877-93-FAITH or online. Fuad, one of the questions I have for you is, we know that we want to reach out as Christians. I think we even believe it's our responsibility to do that. But do Muslims want to make that connection as well? Are they literally here in this country seeking those kind of relationships and connections?
Yes, thank you. Most Muslims come here because they want to start a new page in their life. They're maybe refugees or students. You know, they just want to start a new life. Most Muslims, though, are nominal Muslims, which means they have traditional information about Islam. They are not Muslim because they've studied the Quran and studied different religions. Most evangelicals, when we make a commitment to follow Christ, we've done our homework. While with Islam, you're born in a Muslim country, you're born in a Muslim family, you're a Muslim. They know a couple of things. They've never sat down and studied. Many times we find Muslims become Christians, and their seeking started as they studied the Quran and discovered certain things that shocked them, like chapter 9 of the Quran, chapter 47 of the Quran on killing and war. So the thing that we need to know as believers is just because somebody says, I'm a Muslim, does not mean they've really studied Islam. It just means that they were born in a Muslim family. They're traditionally maybe a nominal Muslim. So that's where we need to talk to them about Christ, number one. Number two, many of them are seeking because, first, God is working. Two, there's a hunger in their heart. There's only God who satisfies. Three, Islam is not working. And four, they want to know about Christianity because they don't know. They've never seen a page of the Bible. So many of them come here and they're interested. You know, we met some Saudi students, about 12, 13 students. And we asked them, you know, have you been to the local mosque? And they all chuckled, and they said, and we asked them why, and they said, because since we got to America, we've been visiting churches. We've never seen a church. We just want to see what does a church look like. And so here's the Muslims coming in. Now, personally, I believe there's a day coming when Muslims will come to churches and say, tell us about Jesus. But this day is not here yet. We need to go and cross the street and welcome them. And then when you welcome them, that immediately shows interest, and they will start talking to us. Many times it could be something like, why are you Christian? Or they might say to you, so why are you being nice to me? And you'd say, oh, my job as a believer to be nice to everyone. God, Jesus says, love your neighbor as yourself. You're my neighbor. It doesn't matter if you're a Republican or a Democrat, whether you're Jew, Christian, or Muslim, whether you're Hindu or Buddhist. You know, we're supposed to love our neighbors ourselves. And And that ignites in them this desire to know more. I was talking with Abdul from Morocco, and I said to him, Jesus says, love your neighbor as yourself. Then I said to him, Jesus says, love your enemies. And he was shocked. He said, Jesus said, love your enemies? I said, yes. I had my Arabic Bible, and I showed him where the verse where Jesus says, love your enemies. And he looked at me and says, can I take this Bible? I've been in America for 6 years. I've never seen a page of the Bible.
Wow.
So I gave him the Bible. And I'm thinking, this guy is in Indiana, lives here for 6 years. I've never seen a page of the New Testament. It is sad that now we have neighbors who come from countries where they're oppressed, where they're being shot at, where they're being killed, where they're being abused, not even to think or investigate. Well, this is the time to come and say, hey, this is America. Why don't you read the Bible for your own self? And many times they say, do you want to become a Christian? I say, no, I don't want to become a Christian. And they say, what do you mean? I say, that's between you and God. It has nothing to do with me. I want you to read the Bible. If God wants you to become a Christian, that's between you and God. I'm just here to tell you there is more that you need to hear about the good news of Jesus.
Amazing. Let me ask you, I've heard so many conversion stories, Fuad, from people who are overseas or in the Middle East or even in parts of Africa, and they're not being talked to by missionaries necessarily, but they are literally having dreams and visions of Christ. This seems to be more and more prevalent than ever before. Is this happening in the United States with the Muslim population as well, or is this something specific to the Middle East?
You know, it's happening everywhere, and there's three things that really we've noticed draws Christians to faith. Number one is a vision or a dream, and sometimes it's somebody just coming in and praying. I'm involved in an Arabic church here in Indiana, and about a couple months ago, we had a lady. She was diagnosed with cancer. She came, we prayed for her, and we did what the Lord says in the Bible, to anoint with oil. We said, look, there's nothing magical in the oil. We're just going to do this as a sign that we trust in God for healing. And she was healed. The report came that her cancer is gone. Now, we don't know why God did this. We know that God did the miracle for her. But now there's more openness in her heart and others in her network to come. So we're seeing more Muslims visit our Arabic church. So miracles, healing will happen. The other thing that we're discovering that Muslims come to faith is when they read the Bible for themselves. I was talking to an Iranian friend, and the reason he came to faith is he was reading Matthew, where Jesus says, love your neighbor as yourself, love your enemies, and then Jesus says, do unto others what you want them to do unto you. And he said, look, I've read the Quran. There are no beautiful words like this. And that was the seed that made him come to faith. So the second thing is reading the Bible in their own language. And then the third thing is meeting an authentic Christian. What do I mean by that? Authentic Christian does not mean he's perfect. Does not mean that they know all the answers. What I mean by authentic Christian is someone who has been trained on how to build bridges with Muslims and trained how to obey Christ moment by moment. One of the Pakistani friend of mine who I know, you know, he was at work. He worked for a company that put stuff up and then build stuff. And his coworkers were believers. And when he expected them to be away, you know, maybe goofing around and, you know, wasting time and money, he discovered that they were doing Bible study as five guys together. So he joined them, and God used that Bible study and these friends of his to draw him closer to faith. And then he made a commitment to follow Christ. The beauty with that is, you know, it wasn't, you know, somebody who led him to Christ who had a PhD in Islam, but rather somebody who had a PhD in Jesus. Someone who loved Jesus to shine the light, to be the fragrance, and people connect, you know, this cup of tea, this cup of coffee, welcome into your home, you know, crossing the street and say, you know, welcome to America, where are you from? My wife and I were helping an Iraqi family. Our church donated furniture, so we were helping them, you know, we carried the furniture to their home, and the man was blown away. He says, you know, been here for so many months, you Christians show us love. We want to know more. And later I gave him a Bible. And the thing that I'm sharing with our listeners is that it doesn't take much to break the barrier and be a light, shine a light, be an ambassador. And Muslims are hungry. They're thirsty to hear. Now, the Sahara Challenge will help you more understand Islam, the religion. The Islam has a concept called the Mahdi, which is like, quote-unquote, the return of their Christ, and the Mahdi will come. He will destroy the Christians, destroy the Jewish people, destroy the pagans, and establish Islam. So our struggle with that Mahdi is he's more, autocratic than anyone else, and he does this all in the name of God. But there is a problem with it, and who is the Mahdi? When the Mahdi is going to appear? Is he Sunni or is he Shiite? Is he, so there's a lot of rumors in the Muslim world about him. There's a lot of ideas about him. So it's important that we learn this as a Christians, also knowing that these are the influences on our society and our culture today. Today we have only about 7 million Muslims in America, but the fear is that if they become larger in numbers and they have political power, that they will really kind of mess up with our constitution and with our freedom of religion.
Mm-hmm. Do you feel like that's a real possibility or threat, Fouad?
The reason it's a possibility is because right now there are 300 million Americans, but there's 1.2 billion Muslims. The growth rate of Islam, biological growth rate, outpaces others because, on average, a Muslim woman will have 7 children. So right now, if you want to do the math, if we don't have evangelism, at some point, yes, you can have the planet become Muslim, because 1.2 billion, if they can, win in wars, take over countries, in many of these countries, once you have Islamic law, you have no other option. Most Muslims today are Muslims because they have no other option. If you're in Morocco, you are a Muslim. You cannot be anything but Muslim. Basically, you can't be anything but Muslim Sunni. You cannot be Muslim Shiite and Moroccan. It's in the same thing in Iran. If you're Sunni, you are very minority of Shia of Iran, majority of Shiite. And the struggle today is the church has not been focusing on reaching Muslims. So how many people are telling Muslims about Jesus? Well, for every million Muslims, we have 2 missionaries. And so this idea that somehow we will outpace Islam through biology and have more kids, you're not. They marry up to 4 wives at a time. And 1.2 billion, 1.3 billion Muslims today. So this idea that we're going to play this technology, this biological race, that's not the good understanding. And then sending 2 people to reach out to a million, that's not right. Mm-hmm. Jesus says, though, one thing that we are sure of. Jesus says, and this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the nations as a testimony to them, and then the end will come. So we know Muslims will hear. What we are doing is exactly what Jesus wants us to do. He wants us to tell Muslims about him, regardless of their response. Now, how is God going to make his promises fulfilled? That's his job. I'm supposed to do my job. My job is to shine the light. My job is to share. And I'll let the Lord deal with the population growth and all that.
Okay. Thank you for that, Fouad. A question came in from a caller. Her name is Pat, and she wants to know, she's got a Muslim neighbor, and she's continually reaching out to her. She's inviting her out, things like that, just extending herself. But the neighbor seems reluctant. What would you give her for advice? I'm really curious about this idea of opening doors properly, but also in closing out conversations in a way that may lead to further conversation. How do you do that?
Yes, thank you. That's why we have the one-week training, Build Sahara Challenge. I know I just want to plug in for the conference, but no, I agree. And what I want to—I had some questions for Pat before I can make the decision on what, how to answer. But always, if she's a married woman, there's a struggle because according to Islam, a married woman on Judgment Day, her husband can give her permission to enter paradise or not. So there's always a struggle with the Muslim woman that's married. She doesn't want to offend the husband. She's always carrying the shame and the honor. So they tell her, well, if you don't do what I say, you are dishonoring me. So maybe that's why she's reluctant, number one. Number two, maybe she's reluctant because she doesn't know where we're going. Like if she's going to church and this person has never been to church, she doesn't know what we do. Most Muslims today get their information about Christianity from television. So how does television depict Christians? They don't depict us in a good light. So Pat needs to, take it easy, find out, what is why this lady's reluctant. So, like, if you guys go in shopping, say, oh, we're going shopping to do this, or I'm going to the grocery store. Lastly, I would really tell Pat, if she sees this reluctancy, ask the lady, why don't you want to do this? And if she says, do you want to become Christian, please respond by saying, no, I don't want you to become Christian. This is between you and God. I'm just sharing with you what I know about Jesus, and then the decision is yours. This is between you and God. Because many times if they feel like we're trying to change the religion, it's a struggle for them. Mm-hmm. According to Islam, if you leave Islam, you have 3 days to come back or be executed. So the struggle with Muslims today is they don't want to be seen as someone who wants to leave the religion. You know, it's not a desirable thing, especially when the Islamic law says you should be killed, you know. Mm-hmm. So that's where she needs to know a little bit where she's coming from. Mm-hmm. But definitely continue the relationship path, and definitely continue asking questions. The way, best way to end the conversation is always not to be, how do I say this, like creating instead of arguing. If there is a disagreement, make sure that you end the conversation in a way by saying, look, you know, we disagree here, it's okay. Or something like, hey, I don't mean to offend you, I just was sharing my opinion. And just keep the environment of the conversations always in a friendly setting, in a setting that's not criticizing all the time. When we criticize Muhammad and Islam, that's not a good environment. It's better to kind of open it up and kind of leave it a little bit more friendly. That doesn't mean we don't talk about issues. I'm just saying, you know, don't go and all the time keep the arguing going. So that's the best way to end the conversation. Maybe something like, oh, you know, we believe that God can change humans' heart. You can maybe say, you know, we know that not every Muslim is a terrorist, something, whatever the conversation is, ended on a positive note.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you. I'm so grateful for the tools you're giving us, these conversational tools. These seem so helpful to me, Fuad. And I do know, I mean, I've got kids who are in schools where there's a growing population of kids who are Muslim, and they're being trained, you know, ongoing. They go to school on Saturdays to learn more about their culture, and they're very, very entrenched. And so I love the idea of being the fragrance of Christ and being an ambassador of reconciliation. And I love taking the pressure off of making somebody certain that you want to convert them, but rather just let them know, I'm here to spread the love of Christ. I'm here to love. And that's an admonition from Christ. I think that's so valuable.
And we're going to see more of what we call second-generation American Muslims come to faith. What's happening in Islam in America today, Muslims in America trying their hardest to redefine Islam in terminology that sounds like evangelicals. So they might say the love of God, whatever. But what's happening to the second-generation Muslims, they grow in America and they're finding out that America, as a Christian nation, is a better place to live than any Muslim country. On top of that, none of them wants to move back. I mean, even if you're from Saudi Arabia, you're struggling to go back to Saudi Arabia. You'd rather live here and make a living in America, which is a Christian country. You know, yeah, you can argue it's a secular society. Yeah, I agree, but it's based on Christian understanding of life, whether it's marriage or business. The way we do business, it's a Christian concept based on truth. I mean, for crying out loud, as you say in English, you hand a check and you sign your name on the check. Well, that's a Christian concept, that we don't lie. You know, I sign a piece of paper saying I don't lie. It's my name on this paper. It's a Christian concept. So the transactions in the Muslim world that are based on Sharia law is failing. It's not working. Mm-hmm. And the second generation Muslims, yes, they're trying hard to put their kids, teach them Arabic and teach them Farsi and Urdu and create these schools for them, to create these communities, but there's nothing to go back to.
Okay.
That's the struggle. And so what's happening is they have to redefine Islam. Thank you.
Yeah, perfect. I'm going to have you finish that answer in its completion on the other side of this short break. We'll be back in 1 minute on Connecting Faith right here on the Faith Radio Network. Welcome back to Connecting Faith, right here on the Faith Radio Network. You still have time to get a phone call in if you like. We're talking about Christian, easy for me to say today, Matt, Muslim-Christian relationships and bridging the gap between the two. Our special guest today is Fuad Masri, and he is helping us in our communication, our bridging this gap. He's even got a DVD series called Bridges. Christians connecting with Muslims, and he exposes Christians to the urgent need for understanding about Islam and Muslims, and also is the founder of the International Ministry, which is now the Crescent Project, and that is another opportunity and organization to nurture relationships between the two groups, giving us a lot of tools. If you haven't heard most of this show, please go back and podcast it, because there are so many really valuable concepts and just how to frame conversations and what to avoid, but what to really kind of hone in on when you are able to make connections with someone of the faith of Islam and what that's like for them in the Muslim culture and even the growing culture here in America. So please go back. It's really important to go back and visit this topic. FaithRadioNet.com. You can go right to the Connecting Faith webpage and actually go down to the show title and podcast it or download it for further review if you like. So thank you, Fuad, so much for your time. We only have a couple minutes to go here, but I want you to finish the answer to the question that we left in the front of that break. And you were just commenting on how much training and what is going on in the lives of young people, young Muslims today, even here in the United States.
Yes. What we're going to see in the next 10 years, we're going to see a rise in militant Islam. We're going to see more of what you're seeing now of terrorism attacks. The militant Muslims don't want to lose power. And then you're going to see a rise in the moderates, and the moderates are going to try to redefine Islam. American-born Muslims, they want to create an Islam that sounds more like evangelicals. Well, good luck, and that's going to be a clash. And the Holy Spirit is winning people from the militants and the fanatics and from the moderates and the nominal. And that's what we're seeing. We're seeing the church grow one person at a time. And all I'm saying is we need to, as a church, to cross the street and welcome Muslims and talk to them. This is the day that the Lord has made. This is the day of salvation. Let's the day of good news, like the Old Testament says when the in the battle there. This is the day of good news. We need to go tell Muslims that Jesus has come to save them from their sin.
Mm-hmm. I'm just curious, Fuad, does a person's homeland affect how we engage them in spiritual conversations? For example, if the Muslim is from Africa, is it different than somebody from the Middle East?
Well, there are three factors that affect every Muslim. Number one is the religious makeup. How deep are they in their religious? Two is their country, politics, whatever they come from. We call that the social. You know, do they come from, a specific society? Is it open society, closed society? Is it open to the West? Is it mixed? Like somebody coming from Lebanon, they've had neighbors who are Sunni, Shiite, Catholic, evangelical. It's different than somebody coming, let's say, from Afghanistan. And then the third factor that affects Muslims is education, or if you want to say schooling. If I'm talking to somebody who has a fifth-grade education and from Afghanistan, it's different than talking to somebody who is a medical doctor and then from Beirut, Lebanon, know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So it affects the context. The message will stay the same, definitely, that they both need the Lord Jesus. It's just the context is different.
So we really do.
And that's what happens for us.
Okay. So we really do need training. If we really want to be effective, we need some training. And I so appreciate the fact that you'll be here next month in June in St. Paul, 17th through the 13th. Tell us again, Fuad, as we close the show out together, a little bit about the Sahara Challenge. It's, again, June 17th through the 23rd. I know registration and information can be found on your website, and that's crescentproject.org, crescentproject.org. What are you going to unpack for us there quickly? We've got about 2 minutes in our time together.
We're going to cover Bible narration to Islam, Islam as a religion, ministry skills, how to begin a conversation, how to end the conversation, cultural skills, how to understand the culture and be able to communicate in a healthy way,
okay.
And then leadership and spiritual formation. Most people working with Muslims sometimes forget to build themselves and keep themselves on the right track. So what happens is that It can. It breaks down the relationship because they are running on empty, as you say in English. And we need believers to know how to strengthen themselves and build on their word of God as we shared them with the Muslims.
Mm.
So this is our 1 week training. There's going to be also a visit to the local mosque. We're going to go visit with Muslims, talk to them about Jesus. There's going to be opportunities for people afterwards to go on a mission trip. I'm leading a trip to Beirut, Lebanon, so people can join the trip and come with me, and we go and share the gospel in Beirut.
Wow. Fuad, thank you so much again for what you do. Thank you for your time today. We're excited about the Sahara Challenge, which is coming up June 17th here in St. Paul. Again, details and information are on the website at crescentproject.org. Fuad Masri, thank you again so much. God bless you.
Thank you, Stephanie. Bye-bye.
Well, be sure to join Susie today at 3 p.m. Today, her special guest, Can't Believe It, recording artist and advocate for purity, Rebecca St. James. You know her music. Together today, they'll explore the ministry of music, the importance of abstinence, and Rebecca's new book on men titled What Is He Thinking?